So we're looking at life together. We've actually been looking at life together pretty much most of the chapter. Well, with walk worthy of the manner of the calling which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. So it's basically been life together, living the holy life. And now we come to what I call the closure section. Before we get into chapter 5, which takes another route in a different way. But anyway, Paul talks about, first of all, watch the way you talk. And on your outline there, it's not 25, it's 29a. Notice what he says. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That is, decaying or harmful speech. This word is also used with fruit that has gone bad. Jesus used it in the sense of decaying when he said, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but diseased trees bears bad fruit. So that the issue here is, for Paul, this corrupting are words that decay, that harm, that can do damage. And I have to tell you something that happened to me. Actually, it happened back in September, but I didn't find out about it till this week. Many of you know I'm on a fantasy football team and a fantasy baseball team. Well, back during, and I think I used this, and I was kind of shocked, but okay. During the baseball playoffs, you remember the girl that I was talking about that won the whole thing. She won it. She was playing a guy that was in the Navy who was on a ship, and I had sent what I thought was fun text, and I said, please don't let this girl beat us. Well, apparently this week the league manager emailed me. And he said, Mike, he said, you offended her. So I said, okay, I'm very sorry I did that. So I sent her an email. This was yesterday. And I said, look, we joke around a lot here on the site, and I'm sorry I offended you, did not mean to. And I got a very terse response back this morning. So I started thinking about how, obviously you pick the people who you think you can joke with. Emmett and I talked about this morning. But words can be loaded with meaning, and they can hurt. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, bear good fruit. Let your words be pleasing and acceptable. Now, I don't know where we're going to go from here with this. I'll probably send her another email, but to try to work that out. But the issue here, Paul says that we're to be careful about the words we say, because words we do use can hurt and cause real problems. I think this is a good verse to remember, too. In Proverbs 8:13, it says, to respect the Lord means to hate evil. I hate pride and boasting, evil lives and hurtful words. Good idea, I think, when we are dealing with one another, at least within this context, to make sure that we, first of all, realize that each of us have our own thoughts and our own feelings about things, and we can easily hurt one another. And so what I would encourage us to do as a body of Christ is to make sure that when we talk to one another, that we do it in a spirit of love, in a spirit of Christian understanding. And if somebody is offended, that they tell you. And this girl waited 2 months. I had no idea. She waited 2 months to tell me that I had offended her. And it came through another person. And so I would have rather her just sent me an email, but she didn't choose to do it that way. Maybe I understand that. But when something like that happens, make sure that we communicate that we love one another. And so the Apostle Paul says here, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. But then we move on to the positive. This one was the negative, now the positive. So how do we counterbalance that? Notice what he says in verse 29b. But only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion. In other words, we should use our words to build one another up. Paul's used this image many, many times. I think one of the pictures that I like when you're talking about building up is this. Many of you guys, probably Dave Wisher knows about these spotters, usually have a spotter. You don't try to lift weights without a spotter, because the obvious thing is if you get it up and you get stuck, you can't get out. This spotter right here sits here for two reasons, I think. One reason is to watch to make sure that the person doesn't get into trouble, right? I mean, that's the obvious. He's lifting weights. If he gets into trouble, this person's able to lift. But what else is that person there for? I had this happen when I was in the Army. We used to have guys that we lifted weights. Motivate and to encourage and to build up and to push and say, you can do this. You can do it, Sally. You can do it, John. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Encouraging. Paul says that we are to encourage as fits the occasion, or in the Greek meaning as occasions arise. How many of you have met or known people, you see them one day and they're just down in the dumps? Yeah, I know you do. You can say, boy, that's messed up. Or you can go over to the person and say, hey, what's wrong? Come on now. Come on. Let's get up and get moving. Right? You can encourage. We need to be in this body of Christ about encouraging one another. Do you know why? I think maybe a little personally why I think. Because this world is not our home. Everybody in here that calls on the name of Jesus Christ, do you know that you're saved by the blood of Christ? You have been redeemed by his blood. Someday you will fly away. By the way, that's country-ish, but I like it. It's okay. Don't you know that the world out there is a whole different place than the world in here? The environment out there is filled with hate, anger, violence. My goodness, you look on the television, you listen to news reports, gunman kills 15 kids in a school. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It should not be that way in the body of Christ. When one brother is struggling to make it through, we say, hey, get up, get going, get going. You can do this. Christ will empower you. Motivate one another. Build each other up. Don't say, well, I don't think you should, you know, you're not that good at that. No, well, okay, maybe he's not that good at it, but don't say it in those terms. And there's where our words come into play. When we have to be very careful, and I learned a lesson from a month and a half ago in a little fantasy league that you need to be careful and also be careful about who you joke with and who you don't, obviously, but be careful with the words that you use because they can cut, they can hurt, and they can do long-lasting damage. This body of Christ here today, all of you, do you know what we need to be about? Building each other up. The reason is this world is not a friendly place to us. Actually, Paul's language here is in a context, at least the nuances of the Greek language are in a context where this stuff was actually taking place. So in a sense that this was actually taking place within the body of Christ, there were people who had corruptive talk, and Paul's saying, look, you don't do this. You do this. You build one another up. Isn't an encouraging word better than a discouraging word? I don't want you to flatter me with false words, but I do want you to encourage me, and I want to encourage you to follow Christ and keep living for him. So I would say simply this, watch the way, and the motivation is, notice here in verse 28b, that it may give grace to those who hear. The Greek word grace, charis in the classical sense, has many different meanings. Here it means to enable or encourage. Going back yonder years, back when I barely graduated high school, my guidance counselor told me you'll never spend a day in college. Guess what? When my parents offered to send me to community college, I declined it. You know why? Well, my guidance counselor, who knows everything, said I wouldn't even survive in college. So I didn't go to college. I went into military. God was in that too. I understand that. But those words, still there, and that was when I was 17, 18 years old, still there, still remember the words, clear as a bell. We are to be about building up one another and encouraging one another to move forward in this life. Okay, secondly, do not grieve the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. Notice the command. First off, right off the command here. And since it's connected to what went before it, then obviously part of the grieving process is when we don't encourage and when we tear down, it grieves the Holy Spirit. So listen to this. And do not grieve, which is a present tense verb, and in the language means that this was taking place at the church. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve means to be sad, sorrowful, or in distress. Kind of ironic. You know, we talk about emotions, anger, rage, happiness, joy, and this is a place where the Holy Spirit has the same emotions. So there is a time when the Holy Spirit can be sad with us. Where does this quote come from? Because Paul definitely draws this from the Old Testament. And it comes from Isaiah 63. This is an exact, I know this is where Paul pulled it from. There's no other place he could have. But they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. The issue here, when Paul was writing this, he went back to Isaiah and said, you know, when the people came out of bondage from Egypt, they rebelled against God. You guys know that, right? So God actually fought against them. And I think Paul's warning here is that if you grieve the Holy Spirit of God and you cause the Holy Spirit to be sorrowful, I think the logical implication was that the Holy Spirit's not happy. And who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's God. Matter of fact, he says this. Watch this carefully. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Who is this particular sin directly against? It's directly against God. It's not a sin. It may not be a sin. It's a sin in one sense here. But ultimately, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it is a sin against God himself. I like what Peter O'Brien said, and it was very straight to the point. Accordingly, the Spirit is grieved when God's people continue any of the sins that divide and destroy unity of the body. It's a grievous sin. It's a tough place to be. It's a tough place for a church to be. So as we're out there in the highways and byways of life, be nice. Love one another. Love one another in here. Talk good about one another. Build each other up. And I think the obvious implication would be that the Holy Spirit would not be sad, but he would be what? Happy. Secondly, the reason for this, the reason for not grieving the Holy Spirit, look at what he says here. By whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. This is awesome because Paul is using this to show them why you would do this. Why you would want to watch your language, watch how you talk, use your mouth to build up, not tear down. Purpose of this is so that you won't grieve the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Paul says that you are sealed. How many of you have heard that word before? Particularly in Ephesians. Let me go back just one chapter here. And let me read this to you and tell me if this sounds familiar. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed. Do you remember that word? Were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the acquired possession of it to the praise of his glory. Do you remember the day that you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I know you don't understand this. Maybe you can't comprehend all of it, but on that day, God stamped on your heart your eternal security. You're sealed. So when you have the Holy Spirit who is living in you that is grieving, somehow I think that would affect not your spiritual status before God. That's saved. But that would seem to hinder your own spiritual growth, your own spiritual walk. So Paul says, let this be a reminder that we were sealed to the day of redemption. That means this, very simply. We are saved eternally. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The moment that you trusted in Jesus Christ, what took place at that very moment? God's Holy Spirit came into your heart, stamped you, you're eternally saved. This word redemption down here, word redemption means to set free from eternal punishment. Do you know why we want to do all this? Because we have been redeemed. Nobody in here that is born again, that has been called by Christ, that has been saved by Christ, stamped by the Spirit, none of you will ever taste what God's ultimate wrath will be like towards the unbelieving world. You won't. You know what? When you stand in Jesus' presence, He'll hug you. I'm just kind of giving you an overview here. You're judged on your works that you did and different rewards. But guess what? You're not over in that camp when God opens the book. Heard a preacher preaching on this week. When He opens the book and your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wouldn't want to be there, would you? I would not want to be standing before God, particularly knowing that I've heard the gospel over and over and over again, having rejected that gospel, and then having to stand before God and give an account for that. Praise be to God, we will not have to endure that type of judgment. And by the way, the ultimate outcome of that judgment is what? I'll say it. It's politically incorrect. I heard a pastor laugh about it this week. Politically incorrect. You will spend eternity in hell separated from God. That does not change. And everything that we're talking about, this Bible, Jesus Christ, is real. Therefore, Paul says that we are not to grieve the Spirit. The command was clearly presented. Do not grieve the Spirit. And the reason that we don't do that is because we've been sealed until the day of redemption. Until we see Jesus face to face. When I was a kid, my mom used to try to motivate me to do things. If you do this, you will get this. Most of the time, this is how it went. I promised to do this. Getting what I wanted, then I didn't do it. Right? But there's a very clear promise that we have been sealed until the day of redemption. That is, you will see, as a believer, since you are, I love this, because Jesus has the key here. Nobody else has the key, only Christ. And you are sealed until the day of redemption. When you trust in Christ, I can guarantee you 150%, if I could go higher, I probably could. When you die, you're going to be in the presence of Christ. Immediately, like that. And that's why we should not grieve the Spirit. Lastly, be kind to one another. And he talks about putting off. We've heard that language before in Ephesians. Now here he says, let all bitterness, and actually resentment is a good word there. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away along with all malice. So let's kind of unpack this grocery list very quickly. To get rid of, that means to put off, shouldn't be named among you. This is what he says. Resentment, that is long-lasting inward anger. I'm going to go through this and then I'll show you how it works out. Secondly, wrath and anger, pretty much the same word, means seething anger with outburst. Thirdly, clamor, that is loud arguing. Do you remember when the nation of Israel clamored against Moses? They were arguing. Slander, harming someone's reputation. Fifthly, malice. When I look at this, that's almost criminal. Strong dislike with an intention to harm. That sounds like a criminal charge. So how does this play out? And I want you to notice the progression. Because it starts here. It starts inward and then starts doing what? Working itself out. So you have here a long-lasting resentment. Here you have somebody that had something happen to them and they start mulling that over and thinking about it. And by the way, then at that point, Satan says, aha, I got something going here. And what does he do? Tries to grab their ankle. Remember, we talked about that last week, about letting the anger go, get rid of the anger fast. So what happens is this resentment builds up, and then it starts to bubble. Like soup on a stove. You ever see the soup start to bubble, or the soup start to bubble? Here it is, seething anger, and then all of a sudden, and if you've tried to stir soup sometimes, you'll stir it when it's bubbling, and it'll splash up on you. That That's what happens. Person's been thinking about this, mulling it over, going over in their mind, and in inside they're going, this, yeah, and then bam, they burst out. Then they start to argue. Oh, man, years ago, when I was in Korea, I was on a special training exercise. These two officers, they'd probably be a bad moment in their life, but they would come in, and I was a sergeant in charge of this communications, and they would come in, and they would speak to me about the other person. And one day, we were in that tunnel, and both of those officers met. And I just looked at them because they were face to face screaming and yelling at one another. So I looked at the clerk and I said, come on. We walked out and they sat there and argued. I don't know if they hit each other. I mean, they were pretty darn close. They were different branches of service too, but the same rank. And they were just going at each other. But notice here, once it leaves this arena, then it becomes to slander where you're out to hurt the person. And that should never be. Remember, we're about building each other up. We're not about tearing each other down, going out in the community and the highways and byways. And that shouldn't be among us. But this one right here is when it really reaches. I think Paul says that's why you got to get rid of it here. And that's why he said before to get rid of your anger. Get rid of it here so you don't have these symptoms. Then it becomes a strong dislike with an intent to harm. That's when either physical, mostly probably physical intent. Did you guys see that? It was crazy. It was on Fox News, and this was at the it was the Jets and the Patriots game. This lady walked over to this guy. I know you saw it. Most of you did. If you watch Fox News, you saw it. This guy looks at this girl and smacks her. Hits her. Did you guys see that? Well, I had some of my own thoughts. probably thoughts of like probably every man. If you want to hit her, why don't you try that with me? That's the first thing I would think of. That can happen. That can happen in the body of Christ. I've seen it before. In my first church, I thought, whoa, wow, fist flying. And it shouldn't be. When we get to this point, there needs to be some serious repentance. Actually, you should just try to get rid of it up here so you don't have to go through all this. Moving forward. By the way, God's people act like this. Shouldn't be. They do sometimes, but shouldn't. And then be kind to one another means to put on. Look at verse 32, to put on. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let's go through the list. He did. He put it, gave, it's a short list. If you do this, you should be okay. Number one, kind or kindness means pleasant, good, agreeable. I have heard of churches, not any ones that I think I've pastored, but I have heard of churches who have fought over the color of carpet. In the grand scheme of salvation, in the grand scheme of eternity, I really don't think it matters about the color of the carpet. I don't think it matters what color the walls are. I don't think it matters, I mean, as long as it's not polka dotted, but I don't think those things particularly matter. And they're not worth getting upset about. You know, I think a lot of it could be with this. When you're in your committee meetings, and I know, well, not committee meetings, team meetings. When you're in your team meetings, get along. It's not the end of the world if you don't get your way. the sky's not going to fall down and the sun's not going to drop and the moon's not going to stop and just because you don't get your way in a little meeting. Be agreeable. Say, okay, you know what? I don't really like this, but hey, that's fine. Wouldn't that be a great church to be in? Somebody proposes something and all of a sudden everybody goes, yeah, it's fine, it's cool. As long as it's not theological, you know what I mean, right, Ruth? As long as it's not a theological issue, I think you're okay with it. Kindness, pleasant. Show teeth, not gritting, but smiling. Be good. Good means do nice things. Don't overreact all the time. And be agreeable. Even if it means to agree to disagree. But then you still be pleasant, be good, be kind. That's my team meeting strategy for the day, Evan. Tender-hearted means compassionate. How many of you like dealing with hard-hearted people? Just two, huh? No. Tender-hearted, when that guy sent me the email and said, Mike, you offended her, I felt bad. And I sent her an email and I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. The way it came out, it was just a joke, and I'm sorry, you know, that you were offended. Be tender-hearted, be kind. Lastly, forgive. That means to cancel a debt, give generously. Those two words, at least in this context. Do you guys like singing movies? I think I've got a singing clip to show you. And no, it's not Dancing in the Rain or Singing in the Rain. Or The Hills Are Alive. What was that, the Von Trapp family? Von Trapp family, something like that. Von Trapp. Hello, goodbye. I can't remember how it actually goes. So I preface it with a little bit of humor. Yeah. Lady Gaga will probably never be quoted from this pulpit. Pretty well safe to say that. Although I have quoted, who's the guy from the Rolling Stones? Yeah, you can't get no satisfaction. Yeah, I have said that. You can't get any satisfaction outside of Christ. But Lady Gaga's way out. This is a clip from Les Miserables. I'll kind of set the clip for you, and there is singing. So, Sandy, you probably like this. You like the singing ones. I usually fall asleep, but anyway, that's not completely true. I watch them. And then when I leave the theater, I'm always, would you like to stop and get a Coke? You know. It's a clip from Les Miserables where Jean Valjean has a chance to eliminate the policeman that's been pursuing him. It's a very good clip. Watch. Oh, you got to be a happy spirit, by the way. Forgot that. Watch.
Eyes forward. Eyes to the roofs. Eyes to the roofs.
Thank you, monsieur. Give me no thanks, monsieur. There's something you can do.
If it is in my power.
Give me the spy, Chabert. Let me take care of him.
Do what you have to do. The man belongs to you.
No.
Again,
you've hungered for this all your life. Take your revenge. How right you should kill with a knife.
Get out of here.
Don't understand.
Clear out of here.
Once a thief, forever a thief. What you want, you always steal. You would trade your life for mine. Yes, Valjean, you want a deal. Shoot me now for all I care. If you let me go, beware. You still answer to Javert.
You are wrong. And always have been wrong. I'm a man. No worse than any man. And you are free. There are no conditions, no bargains or petitions. There's nothing that I blame you for. You've done your duty, nothing more. If I come out of this alive, you will find me a Rue de la Mamée number 5. No doubt our paths will cross again.
Wow, it's a good clip. Are you just about ready to go? But before you do, let me remind you that you've been forgiven by God and that you are to forgive others their trespasses against you. Okay, I'm not going to be on stage, I realize that. What? Oh, it made you cry? Oh, was it? It was way better than my drumming? Well, maybe I should go into this, Emmett. Maybe I should go into theater. No. That's all right, Emmett. I know you're just joking. We already had that conversation. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Christ today? If you don't know Christ, let me just say this real quick. You can have all of your sins forgiven right now, here today, wiped out, done, finished. And you can be eternally secure. Please, if you don't know Christ, make that decision today. Secondly, if you're a believer and you want to do this, pray and ask God to give you the strength. Remember, let's be about building one another up. Let's make the happy spirit, not in the Joel Osteen sense, but happy spirit in the sense of where we bring a smile on the Holy Spirit's face by the way we treat one another, by the way we treat others. And know that you've been forgiven. You do realize your sins have been washed by the blood of Christ, completely done, finished, cooked. But more importantly, please, if you don't know Christ today, make that decision.